Okay, this is the first lesson in the conquest of the land. Time to take the land. And they've wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And during all of this time, God has molded a nation, the descendants of Abraham, that we learn from Genesis, the 12th chapter and verse 2. It says, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Studied the stories until the families have grown to be 70 to 75 people. They left Egypt, or when they went to Egypt, excuse me. In Genesis, the 46th chapter, verse 26-27, somebody got that? Look that up right quick. Genesis 46. Got it, Brent? Okay.
All the souls came to Jacob.
Okay. That says there's 70 of them, right? So why have I got 75? Well, let's turn over to Acts, the 7th chapter and verse 14. Eric, read that for us when you get there, please. Eric's going to read it for us. Okay, so now we've come up with 75, and a lot of people have looked at this and said, "Hey, there's a discrepancy here." Well, when you look at the Septuagint version of the Bible, it tells that Joseph had five grandsons. That was by Ephraim and Manasseh, and those were not counted in this Genesis. figures, but they were counted. They were counted in Acts, in the sermon that Stephen gave there in Acts, the 7th chapter. Well, we learn that these were an honored family of a ruler, and they were counted very special in many ways, and they were given the choice land. What land was they given? I don't care if all of y'all answer out. You know, I like to interact with my students. So, yes, Goshen is the land that that they were given. And why were they given this land? Anybody know? Right. Exactly right. Yeah. And Joseph knew that before it was even decided where they might go. And so that's correct. Now we find that the conditions changed after Joseph died. The Pharaohs no longer knew this Joseph. They didn't remember what all he'd done. So how many years are we talking about, possibly, since the famine up till Joseph dies? About how many? And ready to exit. Come on. How long did they stay down there? You know? 500? Well, that's not quite that many. 400, about 400 years, okay. And so this has been like 400 years. You think about how many generations that would be, and why the Pharaohs, they wouldn't, I mean, if you think back 400 years, who would be the, you know, king over in England right now, or back then, you know. I don't know, I could more tell you than I could fly. That's it. That's right. And that's the way we, if we teach it to our children, we get it out of the same place, the Bible, then we know that's the truth. And that's exactly right. But the conditions had changed. They didn't know who Joseph was. They'd forgotten all about the famine by this time. And all they knew was that these Israelites were oppressed. They oppressed by the Egyptians. They wanted stuff out of them because they'd already become pretty much of a great nation to a degree. But look at God's plan. It was right on schedule. God knew exactly what he was doing. They had become a distinct group since the Egyptians didn't mix with foreigners very much. They were kind of separate. They didn't want to have anything to do with them, and which was a good thing. But God heard their cry for deliverance. They were made slaves. And they had to make brick. And you remember And we'll come to it in just a little while. They had to make their own brick and go get their own straw and all that right at the end. But they were crying for deliverance, and God heard their cry. He sent Moses to rescue them from bondage. We look at Exodus 3rd and 4th chapters, and we see how that where Moses was at this particular time. He was in the land of Midian. What had he gone there for? Brent? He fled from Egypt, okay? And why did he go? Save his neck. There you go. That's exactly right. He was afraid for his life because he had killed an Egyptian and so forth in Egypt, as you remember the story there. He also, while he was there, saw the burning bush, and he went up to the burning bush, and of course God spoke to him, and God then brings the sends him to Egypt to bring the people out, and he sends Aaron to meet him to go there. And why did Aaron have to meet him? Remember that one? Remember? Why did Aaron have to go? Oh, I'm sorry. Why did Aaron have to go? He had to go for a particular reason. Moses is kind of like I am this morning. Couldn't hardly talk. No, not like me. He just said he just couldn't speak. But God knew he could, because God made him to speak, and he made his mouth. And who was he to say that he could not speak? And that's exactly right. That he can. He could speak well, and we learn later over in the New Testament that he was a great speaker, actually. And as we see, as time goes by, we get into the book of Deuteronomy, we see he was a great speaker. Anyway, Aaron, he meets with Aaron, and they go down, and God sends a series of plagues. What are the plagues? Who can name the plagues? Let's see if we can all name them without me. First one I'll give you. Water to blood. Boy, it got down real low right there at the end. Did y'all notice that? You need to know that. If you're going to be teaching next quarter, you need to know those plagues, because you need to teach those to those children, whoever you're teaching. You need to be able to call them off and get them off. What was the purpose of the plagues? Any idea? Tell me. Did you know the plagues? No? You don't? Somewhat? Did you know there was a reason for those plagues? Can you tell me where? Okay. God was wanting Pharaoh to know who he was. And you think putting these plagues on them would give him an idea of who he was. The Egyptians worshipped a lot of these same items that God set plagues on. The waters of the Nile, they worshipped. That was some of the things they were as idols. So what did God do to the water? He turned it to blood. Killed all the fish and it stank. Then the frogs, and that was one of their idols as well. And on down the line, the sun was one of them. And so he sent darkness and then wiped it out, you know, as far as they couldn't see it. They could actually feel the darkness. Have you ever been in a place like that? Almost feel it. You ever been down in one of the mammoth cave or somewhere like that and they cut all the lights out? Man, I would not want to be in a place like that. And that's one of the things that happened on the plagues. And try to learn those. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's a good comment. And so many people today don't know God. Got so many different religious bodies and so forth today, and a lot of them are completely foreign to the true God. And yet,
you have a book.
Exactly right. They eventually did turn to idols. It didn't take very long for them to either, did it? Okay. But finally, when it was all said and done, Pharaoh ordered them to get out of Egypt, and they did. And many of the Egyptians were destroyed on the last plague, which was what? Death of the firstborn. death of the firstborn. And the reason they were singled out, it was by God who singled them out. Okay. God took that generation of slaves and the Israelites to Mount Sinai, made a covenant with them. He said that if they would obey Him, that they would be His chosen people, chosen possession, all the earth. In chapter 19 of Exodus, we find that God said He would be their God, they would be His people. Let's look at Exodus 19. Let's look at 24:4-8. 24:4-8. You got that, Wes? Okay. What elements do you see involved in this reading? What main element, should I say? Blood. Okay. And what did the blood do? It what? Cleanse the people. Okay. And this was ordered by God for them to be able to do. And He sprinkled it on the people. He sprinkled it on the altar, on the sacrifice, and you know, all those kind of things. And we have to keep in mind that even today, there is an offering of blood for us. And it's much more type thing than offering of blood of bulls and goats, which couldn't take away the sins of the people. And Christ's blood could do that. Israel wanted His blessings, and they were quick to say that they would obey Him. And that's what God was wanting. God appeared to them on Mount Sinai, gave them the Ten Commandments. People were afraid. They asked Moses that if he would speak with God and then let them know what he wanted. Do you know why they were afraid of God? You'd be afraid to talk to God. They heard His voice. That's right. When He spoke from the mountain, what did it sound like? Thunders, roaring, you know, trumpets, smoke bellowing up. And you know, they were afraid. They'd never seen anything like this. And matter of fact, we hadn't either. And we won't. God don't speak that way anymore. But they were afraid, so they asked Moses if he would to go and speak with God and tell them what he said. Now, they still promised to do what he said. And that was an important thing that God was wanting them to do, was to do what he said. The law was given and the covenant ratified in Exodus 19-24. And we just looked at that, and it talks about the blood there. And let's look at Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 11. 11, 12. 9, 11, 12. You got that, Eric? Get down to 14, please. Now let's go down to 18-22, please.
Therefore, not even our will and His covenant, almost all things are pure.
All right. Notice that last statement. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Talking about Christ's blood, that's important. And important for one who's not a Christian to understand what that blood does. And so many times, I'm afraid some of our people that we try to teach and try to get these things across, and they don't understand that. And I understand, you know, you can learn things later and after you become a Christian, but you need to understand about the blood. It was a very important part of worship then and even today. Well, we learned that these slaves were made a distinct nation with God as their king. His law is to guide their lives. The first promise to Abraham, the nation promise, was fulfilled. And we found that in Genesis, the 12th chapter, if you remember. Years have passed now, and it's time for the second main promise of Abraham to be fulfilled. I guess you can. Oh, wrong one. Wrong button. Put it back on, Eric. Anyway, this... Maybe back up. The map that we have here is one of that entire area, including Egypt, and also it includes, may take it a while to come back up, the map where they left Goshen. They went down towards the Sinai Peninsula and then on up to Kadesh Barnea and then on around to Jordan, basically. as they crossed there, the Red Sea, what happened there? That's one I punched. May have to punch it back on with that one. Anyway, what happened at the Red Sea? I don't know. Well, okay, stretched it out over the water, and the waters parted. Okay, and the Israelites went through on what? Dry land. Okay, and they went across there, went on down to the next place that, well, not the next place, but on down further towards Sinai was Rephidim. You remember what happened at Rephidim? I remember that. No water. No water at Rephidim, that's right. And something else took place at Rephidim as well. If you remember, the Amalekites, as some of them pronounce it, I guess that's right, I don't know, I always called it Amalekites. But anyway, whichever way it is, it's fine. But they came against Israel at that time, if you remember. And okay, good, thank you. But this just shows their journey down to Rephidim, and here it is right here. Then the next place they stop at is Mount Hor, or Mount Sinai, basically. Same thing. That's where they received the law. And then they made their way up to Kadesh Barnea. And at Kadesh Barnea, what happened at Kadesh Barnea? Sent the spies into the land. Why did they not go through the Philistine area? Well, there's another reason. Philistines were men of war, okay? And God didn't want them to go through that area at this time. He didn't want them to take them on first, okay?
I think that's what
it is. Yeah. 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 Okay. What did they find in the land? In that looked like giants, and they were like grasshoppers. Yeah. So, and 10 of the people, 10 of the spies came back with what? Bad news. That's true. They came back. Bad news. They said, we can't take the land. Well, if you remember, Moses then talks with the people of Edom and says, you know, after they've told them they're going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So he talks to the Edom and says, can we pass through the land to get to, because they're going to have to go up the other side. They can't go through Kadesh Barnea. Some of them wanted to do that, if you remember. And so they tried that, and they got beat. So Moses talked to Edom, and they said, no, you can't pass through our land. So what did Edom tell them? No, you can't go. And so we find that they passed by Edom. Exactly where, we don't know for sure exactly where they went. But that's somewhere in that little region right up through there. And I really got it sticking out too far because the King's Highway is right here, but I know they had to stay on the outskirts of Moab, I think, just I remember. And of course that's Moab, the plains of Moab, right up in that area right there. Okay. God had promised to Abraham someday that he would give the land to of Canaan to his descendants. And we find that in Genesis, the 12th chapter. Let's look at 6 and 7. Genesis 12, 6 and 7. this is an important to keep in mind when you're teaching the children. They need to know this. You got that? All right? Yeah. Okay. Now, why is it important to know this? Well, this is one of the main promises that God made to Abraham and the things that would follow later.
And this quarter,
right. Exactly right. That's a good point to make. Israel is now at the threshold of Canaan. Joshua is their appointed leader. Joshua will lead the people across the Jordan River to conquer the land of Canaan. God promised to be with his people, to help them fight their battles, bless them as long as they are faithful to him, and he commanded that they drive out all the wicked inhabitants. That's the land. God will drive out the Canaanites, helping them drive out the Canaanites because they were a wicked people. Look at Deuteronomy 9. Let's look at verse 4. There's the main one I want to look at. Deuteronomy 9, verse 4. You got that, Jay? Okay. What had the Israel done to deserve this? Anything? No. And God said, it's not because of your righteousness that I'm giving you this land. It's because these people are so wicked. Who were we told back earlier in Genesis that were a wicked nation? But their iniquity was not yet full. Amorite. Okay? Good. Very good. And that's important to remember as well. God wasn't going to destroy them until they got to the point that they needed to be destroyed, basically. They are to destroy all the idols that they find in the land. We find that in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give to his sons, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy sons. They will turn away thy son from following thee. And they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. God knew if they ever intermarried what was going to happen. They would be carried away into idolatry. And that's the reason today we try to stress to young people, make your choice right. Get married. Take your time. Make your choice right. If you marry someone out of the church, it's a possibility that you can be drawn away. Not that you will be, because we have evidence of people who were not, but were brought to the truth. Eric is one right here in front of us who was of the Baptist faith years ago. Wife, thankfully, taught him the art of it. Anyway, good influence on him, put it that way. You still?
We weren't married.
Okay, just dating. Okay. It's all right. And she was a good influence on him. We'll put it that way. And some other men worked with him as well. Pardon me. Okay, the book of Joshua opens with God reassuring Joshua that he would be with him. Moses is now dead, and it's time to move on across the Jordan. They are encamped on the plains of Moab, and they had been here right after they defeated the Amorite, Sihon the Amorite, and Og the king of Bashan. These were on up in the northern section on the east side of Jordan. Learn this in Numbers, the 22nd chapter. Learn about those things. We also know about Balak. Since that time, they had endured the threat of King Balak of Moab. And what was the thing that Moab king saw about Israel? He had seen what they'd done to Sihon and Og, but this people was growing, and he was worried. He was worried that they were going to come and take his land as well. Let's look at Numbers, the 22nd chapter. Let's look at verse 2 through 6. Charles, you want to read that for us? 2 through 6. Okay. That's good. That's good right there. All right. Thank you. So he saw that this was going to be a mighty people. They were come up out of Egypt, and they seen the things that had happened. And so his suggestion was to get Balaam to come and curse them in Numbers, the 31st chapter, verse 16. And that curse, that when he sent for him to come and to curse them, Balaam found out even though God permitted him to come, he couldn't curse him. God wouldn't let him. And so he wound up actually blessing the people at that particular time. As we look at Numbers 31:14, we find that Moses was wroth with the officers, the host, with the captains over thousands, the captains of hundreds, which came from the battle that was against these people. And Moses said to them, "Have you saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregations of the Lord. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones, kill every woman that hath known a man by lying with him." So he was wanting to cleanse Israel back at this particular time. Okay, of course we learned that Balaam's motive was money. And you can read that over 2 Peter, the second chapter and verse 15, where he loved the wages of righteousness. Okay, as we continue on, God punished Israel for their idolatry, and about 24,000 of them were slain. God said it was time to number the soldiers. In Numbers, the 26th chapter, all the men above 20 years, you remember, were numbered years ago, and the number was about 603,550 men of war. Okay, that's besides women and children. And so that's how many there was back earlier. And so the soldiers counted early, were afraid when the spies came back with a bad report at Kadesh. God decreed that not one of those soldiers would live and inherit the land. That's with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. And they were to wander in the land, in the wilderness there, for 40 years. First book of Joshua brings us to the time when nearly 40 years have passed. Moses spent the last month of his life telling the new generation to remain faithful, to drive out the wicked inhabitants, destroy the idols, and remember God and His blessings. And be sure and tell it to your children so they'll know about this. Moses gave vivid descriptions of the blessings and curses, and we find that in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. If you haven't seen those, look at them. It's very impressive. He led the people to make a covenant with Jehovah in addition to the one at Sinai. This one concerned their promise to be faithful so they could keep the land. If they deserted God, then He was going to desert them. Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. Your eyes have seen what God did to Pharaoh. And up until now, you have not had minds to understand with and eyes to see with and ears to hear, Moses told them. You've seen how God took care of you in the wilderness. Neither your clothes nor your sandals wore out for 40 years. Think about wearing the same pair of sandals for 40 years, you know, without them wearing out. And they didn't. Food was provided. They would know that God actually loved them, cared for them. His help, they defeated Sihon and Og. Carefully follow the covenant and you will prosper, they were told. Now you have to enter into a covenant, Jehovah, sealing it with an oath, making the covenant with not only you, but also the ones who are going to follow after you, your children, in other words. Sure, no one turns aside to idols, things that they, Moses was telling them, that there be no root among you that would produce this kind of thing. It'll grow up. Well, if you do not listen with the intent to obey, God's not going to forgive you. That's what Moses told them. All the curses of this book will fall upon you. Failing to serve Him will cause your children after you to be carried into a distant land. Know exactly that that's exactly what happened. Land will be a burning waste, salt and sulfur. Nothing planted or sprouting will grow. I've heard people who have gone over there and they say, "Man, I wouldn't have that land." And that's it. That's what's going on. God did exactly what He said. All nations will ask why the Lord has done this to the land. Why His fierce anger against His people and its false people broke the covenant. important to know. We break the covenant, we don't have a feet eternal. They went aside and worshiped other gods, going to uproot them and thrust them into another land. Remember that the secret things belong to God. And these things are revealed that we might know what He has for us. Find God's laws, His warnings, His exhortation in Deuteronomy 29. Can't claim ignorance after this. Okay, we're going to quit right there. Yeah. I'll get you. Excuse me.